Welcome to Minority Report. This is your host, Jay Ganglani.
Hold the handrail, stand firm, don't walk. Travel safely.
Ibrahim, I'm from Hong Kong.
I am from Hong Kong.
From Hong Kong Baptist University, welcome to the third episode of the Minority Report, a brand new podcast series about Hong Kong's ethnic minorities. In our third and final episode, as promised, we're going to be discussing discrimination in Asia's world city. If you haven't already, do check out the first and second episode, where we discuss who Hong Kong's ethnic minorities are, and take a look at some of the city's ethnic minority artists respectively. Now, for all my fellow Hong Kongers that are currently listening to this episode, this is something that most belonging to the ethnic Chinese majority don't even think exists in the city. However, they couldn't be more wrong. In a survey by Hong Kong Unison, a non-profit that works with minorities, 42.5% said that they wouldn't live on the same floor as someone of African descent, for instance. More than 99% of respondents were ethnic Chinese. This is what a refugee, who's been living in Hong Kong since 2001 and is originally from a West African nation, had to say on the matter.
If you are not Chinese, you are out of their mind.
From empty seats next to them in public transportation, to being blamed for an attack on a local politician, and being used as a scapegoat by an official from the Center of Health Protection for a surge in COVID-19 cases in January, ethnic minorities have seen it all.
When me and my wife and my kid entered the bus, when the old woman came to the bar, she started talking, insulting my kids in front of people in Cantonese. Black ghost kids. In the same bus, a student replied to her, "You are old woman, why are you calling people?" So you see, she's a student. She fights to her grandma, why she's saying that. So you see, the old generation, they have lack of education.
The Cantonese term Hak Gui, which translates to black ghost, is seen as a derogatory term targeted at those who have a darker complexion in the city.
Hey, who put that? Who's the owner of this one?
So that was a refugee center located in Sai Ying Pun. The man who I interviewed, let's call him John to protect his identity, still hopes for a fair Hong Kong society for the sake of his Hong Kong-born children. Ethnic minorities who I've spoken to during my research even told me that some go to the extent of covering their nose and mouths, particularly when South Asians or people of African descent are in the same lift as them, for example.
I was wondering, when I say the word discrimination, is there a personal anecdote that comes to mind?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day I go through it. Try taking a public transport with me, no one's going to sit with you. Try going to a shop with me. They'll follow you or they'll give you a good look to make sure that you're not going to steal stuff. Go in a lift with me, you've got to put my hands up like this because I don't want people to think that I'm going to touch them. You know, there's this the brown folk.
He believes Hong Kong has a long way to go in solving the issue.
You know, you go in the landlord, no, we don't rent to Indians. You guys smell, your food's blatantly telling you things like that. Oh, the landlord doesn't like Indians, doesn't want to rent to Indians. And by the way, that's not against the law, by the way, even though that's discrimination. You know, if you go to the EOC to complain, they say, oh, the proof, you know, all the onus is on you. You're not a lawyer. You want to make complaints and you hope that they would take up your case. But in fact, check out EOC, how many race discrimination ordinance cases they've taken up. zero.
Despite calls being made to the Equal Opportunities Commission, or the EOC, they declined to comment. On May 7, 2020, just 18 days prior to George Floyd's murder in America, a man of South Asian descent had his own confrontation with law enforcement. He was subdued on Sim Sha Tsui's Nathan Road by Hong Kong's police officers, who were seen kneeling on the man's neck for 5 to 7 minutes.
And I think what happened to the South Asian man, a couple weeks prior to George Floyd's death was very shocking. And it was after George Floyd's death that this video gained even more momentum, because people sort of compared and likened it to what had happened to George Floyd.
He had allegedly thrown a glass bottle at a moving vehicle. He died about 24 hours later. Unlike the States, though, there were no mass demonstrations and fairly limited coverage in the press. One article posted in the Hong Kong Free Press was written by Ria Mogo.
People that I spoke with, frontline workers, people that work with NGOs, said it was a shame that it had to happen in that way. And the reason it came up was because people were talking again about police brutality, but the racial angle sort of disappeared. For instance, like let's say crime stories where a crime has happened. I don't think that race should be brought up or mentioned at all unless race had a significant part to play in the story itself.
Mufti Muhammad Arshad is the chief imam of Hong Kong. Having moved to the city in 2001 with his wife and 3 children, he has devoted his life to being an imam, aka a leader, and a khatib, also known as a speaker. Now, you may be asking, that's all great, Jay, but what does this all have to do with discrimination? Well, in October 2019, the Hong Kong police sprayed blue dye on the Kowloon Mosque, with allegations quickly spreading that law enforcement authorities had specifically targeted Hong Kong's most iconic mosque, despite no protesters being present in the area. Hong Kong's chief executive Carrie Lam, though, quickly apologized in a move that satisfied some, but others found rather patronizing.
Immediately after the incident, our police representative offered sincere apologies to the chief imam and the Muslim community leaders. The police have for a long maintained a good relationship with the Kowloon Mosque and the Muslim community in Hong Kong.
Those comments you just heard were made by a police commissioner following the Kowloon Mosque incident. And here's what the chief imam had to say on the matter.
Indeed, it was a big issue for the Muslim community. Then the news spread in a local and international media. And I was also, it was Sunday, and I was also in Chinchowai, where I residing there. So we were all surprised. And we were not expecting, because in this situation, the Kowloon Mosque and Islamic Center kept itself away from the local defenses.
The good, the bad, and the ugly are all present in Hong Kong. Although this episode might have explored some of the darkness, it's equally important to not get too bogged down by all of the negativity that surrounds us. The vast majority of Hong Kongers that I've met are kind, intelligent, and certainly not racist. On that note, this is your host Jay, signing out. and I hope to see you on my future projects. Feel free to connect with me on Twitter at Ganglani J. That's GanglaniJay. Music has been provided by ccmixer.org.